dive on into today's episode of The Pop, we'd like to let you know that we are now officially launching our Harry Potter read-along podcast called Through the Gryffindor.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit a while ago. This is an idea we've had forever, and the past few weeks we've been really like ramping up on it. We've been like building a brand new set for it and everything. We actually have an episode zero available right now, but the basic premise for the podcast is that Ben and I are going to be going chapter by chapter for the entire Harry Potter series. So each episode of the podcast will be the next chapter in the books.
Yeah. And so what we're going to try to do is bring sort of this, like, you know, I'm going to put it in air quotes, but like the expert lens of two brothers who have essentially spent the last several years of our lives, like, dissecting the story, and kind of converting the story into all of these, you know, deep dives and explainer videos and theory videos. And sort of like, as we go chapter by chapter, looking for like all of those bits and pieces right alongside us. So Jay and I both have brand new physical copies of the book that we're going to be marking up along the way as we go. So we invite you to listen along and read along with us as we go through the Gryffindor.
To celebrate the launch, the first three chapters are all going to drop on October 1st. So just 3 days from now, if you're listening to this podcast on the day it came out, Sunday, October 1st, the first three episodes of Through the Gryffindor are going to drop, and episode zero is already available, so go check it out. Leave us a five-star review. Thanks!
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'm here again! I made it to episode 199. Next week is episode 200 of The Pop.
We should just phone it in.
Week, you know? We'll just skip.
Just skip. You know, it's like, what kind of, who needs to live for milestones?
Right.
You know? It's like
the importance of like anniversaries and other people's lives versus the way they are in mine. Like, it often blows my mind. It often makes me feel like I'm doing it wrong. Like, people, I'll just hear from people all of the time about, oh, this is the 3-year anniversary of me starting working here. This is my 4-year anniversary of this happening, or this is the 1-year anniversary of that. And I'm like, that just doesn't feel like a thing. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I barely get excited about the anniversary of my birth at this point. Okay. And I don't know, I'm not like, even like, I remember when we started Super Carlin Brothers, when I went full time, like, I remember the 1-year anniversary of that, I was being like, oh my God, I did it for a whole year. That's unbelievable.
Yep.
That
definitely
was being excited.
Yep.
But like this past weekend, like, I had to discover that it was the 5-year anniversary of Carlin Brothers Coffee via an Instagram post put up by the coffee company. And I was like, oh, that was today. Cool.
You know? Well, about that?
I'm going to go ahead and repost it and move on with my day. It wasn't like, gosh, Beth, oh my gosh, whoa, I need to, whoa, should we do something? You know, it was not even on my radar. And I don't, am I doing anniversaries wrong? Should I be celebrating the annual return of certain accomplishments more?
It's just difficult to say. It's difficult. I mean, because I think at the end of the day, it's sort of like, if you get, like, if it's giving you just like a reason to have an occasion.
Sure.
Then,
there's that.
Then, like, on some level, you know, I think I can sort of see like the, excuse to like go out to dinner or to do like takeout or to do like a movie night or something, you know, and being like, oh yeah, like, you know, I'm celebrating, like, blah, blah, blah. You know, I can certainly see like what you're really like looking for is the, like, it's almost like you're not inventing an occasion, because the occasion is in fact real, but it's like what you really want is just the ability to like have something to celebrate.
Yeah.
And therefore it's like, okay, yeah, like, why not this?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but I also feel like when we were kids, I remember the like slow reveal of like the dawning comprehension that every single day of the year is National Blank Day.
Something Day.
Or like the Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, it's National Sibling Day and it's like, oh man, everybody be sure to post pictures with your siblings today. You know, or something like that. But, there is one of those for every single day of the year. And so when I was younger, I remember discovering like National Popcorn Day, like what? That's so cool. Like as if it was like, as if like in addition to Christmas, there was National Popcorn Day.
Yeah.
That like, it's like, why isn't it on the calendars?
Come on, guys. You this know? Is Popcorn Day. We got to get popcorn. This is a big deal.
Right, right, right. Yeah. So it's funny because I'm like, when it came to like, who was the person at like the National Council of Popcorn?
Yeah.
That was like, all right, guys, we have a very important agenda item today on the discussion for the meeting. What we need to discover is what day of the year is going to be National Popcorn Day, and it needs to have some significance. So I'm open to all the ideas. Like where are we at? You, anybody?
Do you think there is a National Council of Popcorn?
You know, a lot of times I have literally like no earthly idea what industries have national councils that help determine the ways and behaviors and practices like an industry might, you know, enact.
Right. Like we had a friend who worked for like the Beef Council.
Yeah, or whatever, we did. Yep,
right.
Yep.
And it was like, I remember hearing about this and being like, what do you mean beef? It's just like anything, any beef at all, eat beef of any variety from any vendor at all. Beef, right. Like, sell more of it, eat it.
And yeah.
It was
if
like,
you've ever
that's
seen
sort
like,
of their whole thing. And I was like, so just, it's literally all beef at all. You have like no brand loyalty. And it's like just beef. Period.
It's like Got Milk.
Yeah, it's like Got Milk. Exactly, like that. Yeah,
like milk was. It was like a campaign to just drink more milk, not from this brand or that brand or whatever. It was just sort of like the rising tide raises all ships.
Right.
You know. Yeah, so it's like if you can make everybody drink more milk, then all of us will benefit, and we will just do it together as part of the organization that is
the Milk Council.
Yeah. and so like,
well, almost certainly there's like a Council of Corn or something.
It feels like yes.
Massive crop.
Right. Yeah. Cause like corn is probably like one of the most versatile substances just on the planet, hard stop. So yeah. I suspect that that's the case, but whether or not there's an actual popcorn council is a different question. Like I'm sure it comes down to what percentile of overall corn usage, registers as dedicated popping corn.
Yeah.
You know, versus, right. like corn that can be used like for other various, purposes, which again are many.
I wonder what the highest return on investment for corn is. Like there's, when I think of like, oh yeah, you grow corn, it's like, I think the thing was like corn on the cob, but corn is like in everything.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
Literally everything. And so it's like, is like the fuel industry actually where the big money in corn is? Or the markup on popcorn is so insane that like, even though it's just like the fluffy snack food, it's like you can make popcorn for literally like decimal points on the penny and sell it for like $10 a bag. You cannot the markup's like 10,000,000%, yeah. You know?
Like, but so the question would be like what is the associated market cap?
Right.
Then so like if you were to look at all popcorn sales everywhere. So again, like what like Big Pop might look at, or the Pop Council, you know, like they're like, okay, so the markup, you know, we can use a very small amount of corn crop to provide the entire nation's popcorn supply, but all popcorn supply that is sold only accumulates to like, you know, I'm going to randomly choose $30 billion, which, you know, like there's always sort of that, like numbers are one of those things that I feel like can be stretched any which way, shape or form, depending on the tone of inflection used to deliver the number itself.
Yeah.
Because we're living in such a global society at this point in time.
Oh, that is such a thing.
Yeah. Where it's like, listen, Jay, popcorn accounts for $30 billion in annual corn revenue.
Right.
What is your takeaway from that?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yes.
Right? But then it's also like popcorn accounts for, you know, like in all of corn, you're talking $30 billion, you know? Like,
right.
Like can you hear how like I use the exact same piece of information and they have completely different tones?
I don't want to like throw our dad under the bus or anything.
Oh gosh.
But not like, this is not like a bad thing or anything, but I remember at like the, it's just like a matter of scale. We went earlier this year to like his like sarcoidosis, like he was given an award for his podcast about sarcoidosis.
Yes.
Yep. And like when they were up there, and it's a really good podcast. And if you know anyone with sarcoidosis, please go listen to it. It's extremely informative and
it's
really
good. It's called Sarcfighters.
Sarcfighters, shout out. But I remember being up there and like they're like listing out the accolades and like why, like what made this stand out, why he was being recognized amongst all the other people being recognized that night. And it was like, this is a podcast that has over 60,000 downloads. And it was like, that's a tremendous, it's great. That is amazing.
Yes.
And it's like, also like there are podcasts where that would be like a rounding error on one episode per week. You
sure.
know,
not this podcast, to be clear, but
like, you know, it's like 60,000 downloads total ever. It's like, that's amazing. It's great. Good for you.
Yes.
No, like nothing wrong with that at all. It's just, it's so funny that like, yeah, it's like, as they're saying it, it's like, you're listening to the audience, like, that's incredible. Wow. And it's like, whereas like, you know, like Serial, I think had like 100,000 downloads per episode, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Not combining all their episodes together.
right. Yes. No, of course. And I don't know. No, you're right though. Cause I do think it's like, it is such a matter of scale. And in that case in particular, I think the big deciding factor is that like every single person who is like consuming that has found something that is, like very specific and beneficial to them.
Right.
And that's where I talk about like market cap as well, where it's like the number of people, total that are like so afflicted or whatever that may even be looking for such a podcast. Like it is very like specific.
Oh, I know.
To the,
that's the thing. It's like, I can user. Say that, but at the end, there could also for podcasts about a specific medical condition, 60,000 could be out of the park.
Like massive.
It's like massive success, right. Which I think is probably closer to the truth.
Yes. But, yeah. I think that's probably definitely accurate. But anyway, yeah, no, so I understand exactly what you're saying though, because it is like one of those things where it's like whenever, and I think what actually used to like slowly acclimate me to this reality was, I think it's either, oh, what was it? There was a Good Eats, I believe, was like How It's Made, which was a TV show like back on Discovery or something. And How It's Made might be like how buttons are made. And like, you'll go to the button factory and they'll be like, the raw plastic is brought in on a conveyor where it joins a blah, 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 and is slowly formed into an extrusion machine.
Unwrapped.
Unwrapped. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Unwrapped is the correct one. So there is a food version of it where basically it was just on the Food Network channel where they would go through and be like, this is how Twinkies are made. And like they would show you like Twinkies being made.
Hosted by Mark Summers, by the way.
Yes.
Of Double Dare fame.
Yes, you're right. You're right. You're right.
What would you do?
Oh my gosh. Giving me such throwbacks at the moment. Absolutely correct though. Yeah. I don't even know if I had successfully pieced that together. It was like, it's like I would hear Mark Summers and be like, oh yeah, of course this guy, and not even think of like what he's from. But anyway, so in the show, almost always in almost every single episode, they would give some metric as to like, if you combined all of the Twinkies sold in the world end to end, it would wrap around the globe 3 times, you know? And it's like, no matter what, they would always give you some version of this example. And I suspect that somewhere in the writer's database, they had a whole bunch of different distances that were like all pre-assigned so that they had like some basis for like what really unusually large, you know, body or distance or length of something can we use for this week's episode to be like, that's enough to go to the moon to like, you know, 3 times and back or something, you know, like, and they would have all these like distances, but like, you know, if we had sold enough Super Carlin Brothers t-shirts where if you posted them end to end, it would go from one end of Virginia to the other end of Virginia, that alone would seem like a massive amount of t-shirts sold.
Oh, right.
So it's like the fact that we're providing context based on like the amount of like geographic distance that can be covered by amount of like product, like whatever. It's like on any level, it's like you could fill a 1 acre farm with how many.
Do you know the object that I think is abused for this the most?
What is it?
Is the Empire State Building.
Yes, it is. Yep. It's just a known tall structure.
It's just like, you just know that as like giant tall structures. Like you could stack the Empire State Building end to end this many times to get to the bottom of the Marianas Trench, despite the fact that the Empire State Building has not been the tallest building in the world like for a very long time.
Sure.
And it's like not even close anymore, but it is definitely like the most famous previously tallest building in the world.
Yes. And I think like that's the thing. It's like it held the notoriety for long enough to attain the accolade of getting to be like this bizarro like measuring stick.
Right.
You know, in the same way that like we have like 1 foot is like 12 inches, you know, it's like instead of like 10 inches or something. You
yeah,
know, it's
like why?
Numbers get all wimbly wombly. But like at some point in time, it was like, yep, we decided like the Empire State Building is that thing. And then once a bigger building was then constructed, it's almost like, but everybody's kind of used to saying the Empire State Building thing, aren't we? Like, you know, it's like, are we gonna, do we keep going to like the next one? Do we keep like changing the phrase each time like a new taller building is constructed? And then we have to do some like recalculations and be like, oh, well now, you know, there's this building in Dubai that it's like, it's only 14 of those, where it was previously, you
know,
this is 27 why. Empire yeah. State Buildings.
The Empire State Building is such a good one because it like, it makes your number seem bigger.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
a good
like,
point.
Oh yeah, yeah. To get to the moon, it takes like, yeah, like 200 empires. That's probably a really low number.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
But whatever. Whereas what is the building in Dubai called? What is the actual tallest skyscraper right now?
Hold on. We can look this up.
We can look it up.
I kept thinking it was going to come to me.
Me too.
While we were talking, and I was sort of like,
I keep wanting to say the Wiz Khalifa, and I'm like, that's a rapper. That's incorrect. It's not that.
It is definitely not that.
And I'm like, it sounds like that.
Oh, it does actually. I mean, I was like, Jay, that
not even close. Yeah.
But yeah, Burj Khalifa.
The Burj Khalifa. Okay, I was close.
You were very close.
I was like, it is not the Wiz Khalifa.
Nope. But I am amazed that was your stab and that it was that close. At over 828 meters, 2,716 feet, or more than 160 stories.
Goodness me.
Quite the large building, as quite you can tell large. By the tone of voice that I use to describe it.
Wow. Yes. All numbers sound big with the right tone of voice, which is why next week for episode 200 of the podcast, you know, maybe it's worth celebrating.
Maybe it is. Maybe I don't know. We'll figure out if we're going to do something special.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say about this is, I think largely what it's come down to for me is that I feel like I have ceased to respond when numeric values are attached to things.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's always like, it's like that number sounds big and that is the case, but like I don't have enough context to know how that number fits into what is otherwise the greater scheme.
Oh, this is, you know, this is I think on YouTube this happens to me all the time, where like if you like on like the Super Carlin Brothers main channel has like 2 million subscribers.
Yeah.
And like if anyone I tell that to is like, wah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, you know, it is this outstanding number. And like, maybe I'm just like so familiar with the number and I'm like more familiar with so much YouTube that like, to me, I'm like, we're basically failing. Like, you know, there's people with like 15 million, 100 million, you know, people are just flying, you know, 2 million. It's like, why even bring it up? It's like, you know, this is, you know, we tried, I guess.
I know.
And it's like, you get lost and like, it's like, it just, you know, you have to stay in your lane a little bit.
It's definitely like it's a super, super strange one. Yeah. Because you're right. Like, you know, you do sort of like get inside of it. Then you end up being surrounded by people who, I think we've talked about this before, like with where I ranked, you know, in the state at my prime cross country status. I think like, at best, I was probably like the 5,000th fastest high school athlete, you know, in the country at that point in time. Like I was like over, I was like 109th in my state alone. But then like if you zoom back, it's like amongst all my peers, it's like I was not a bad athlete. I still made it to states, but like I wasn't like extraordinary in this capacity either. But then like, if you zoom out to like all of like humanity, I still was probably in like the top 0.01% of 5K distance runners.
Right.
Like on the globe.
On the globe. Yeah.
You know? And it's like, when you look at it like that, it's like, well, that's pretty impressive. Like that's cool. But like, but what you are is you were surrounded by peers that then sort of
all
like
do the same thing.
That all do the same thing. Yeah, exactly. And this is like, it's funny because anywhere you go and you start to excel, chances are you were surrounded by other people who are also excelling at that thing. Which is why it's just never good to compare.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's not, it's the, as you once said, it is the thief. Comparison is the thief of happiness.
Indeed.
Which
indeed.
I think is one of the most clever things you ever said. Anyway,
I didn't invent that. But
well, you told me, and therefore you should wear the accolade proud as if nobody else had ever said it before.
Right.
Because this is...
maybe I coined it. Who knows?
There you go. Yep, that's exactly right.
I coined
right.
the phrase. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yep. All there right. It is. On that note, how about time for a transition?
Let's do it.
All right, Jay, so last week we had a huge teaser. Just probably like one of the biggest ones ever. Like I would say it's like a 30 billion and like on the teaser scale, which by the way is a scale of like 1 quadrillion. So,
yeah,
like,
so you know, 30 billion, kind of low.
Kind of low, frankly.
Yeah, frankly, you know, 30 billion small.
Right. Okay, so you had included a line in the show notes last week that we didn't get to. Yeah. And at the end of the episode, we were like, until next time.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, the Crystal Horse Saga.
The Crystal Horse Saga, which I mean, so knowing absolutely nothing, my assumption is that, and this is me guessing, you haven't told me anything.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to try to assume what the Crystal Horse Saga is.
Okay.
And you tell me how close I am.
Okay.
Okay, so my assumption is that the Crystal Horse is something that your son Luke spotted somewhere and you were unable to attain the Crystal Horse. And then you got home and Luke was like, I'm still thinking about the Crystal Horse. And you're like, okay, you know what? If he's still thinking about it, it wasn't just a passing fancy. He really wants it. We're going to find a way to go and recover the Crystal Horse. However, when returned to said location of the Crystal Horse, you discovered, alas, it is no longer here. But then, by some bizarre circumstance, a friend of a friend of a brother of a sister calls and says, guys, I have found this thing that I feel like your son Luke might like. It's a Crystal Horse.
Wow. Unbelievable.
I know. How close was I?
No, well, it did have to do with Luke.
Yes!
There you go. That's about as close as you got.
Okay. I'll take it. But anyway, so I'm dying to know more because I would know, and partially I think I was placing myself into Luke's, you know, mind a little bit there. Because as a child, if I were to bear witness to a crystalline horse, I would covet it greatly.
I mean, there's no doubt if Luke were to witness a crystal horse, he would for sure covet it greatly.
Okay, so he has not witnessed the crystal horse.
He has not witnessed a crystal horse. So a couple weeks ago, Beth was getting ready to run the Hokie Half Marathon.
Nice. Way to go, Beth.
An annual race up in Blacksburg around Virginia Tech's campus. Go Hokies. Not having a great season so far.
No, not so
football-wise.
Yeah.
Boy, it's rough. It's rough out there. Anyway.
They had a killer penalty over the weekend.
Several.
And then there was that other penalty that they committed.
Oh my gosh. It was, it was a rough game against Marshall.
A little bit hard to watch.
Jeez. Anyway. So she's getting ready for that. And so part of that was like carb loading stuff. She went out for, she got some bagels one morning. And on Saturday morning, I came downstairs and I woke up early. Luke woke up early. And so we were downstairs early.
Naturally.
And I rediscovered the bagels in the fridge, which was like, oh, it made me excited to be awake. I was like, okay, all right, this is good.
Okay.
I want the bagels right now. But I remembered that the previous day when Beth got the bagels, she didn't get cream cheese. And so I was like, we're without cream cheese right now, which isn't like a huge deal. I could bagel with other things, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Butter, peanut butter, jam, what have you.
Jam
on bagels? I mean, you know, do whatever you want, man. Get creative out there.
That, you know, quite literally though, do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. You know, it's not called an everything bagel for no reason. You can put whatever you want on there. Well, it's an anything bagel. Isn't that fun? No. Since Luke was up and since I was like, you know what? I know everyone, or at least me and Beth, would prefer to have the cream cheese. And this won't be the last time it's a problem because I'm clearly going to have bagels until we run out.
Clearly, yeah.
Like,
I know you're a fan of bagels.
I do enjoy a good bagel. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm going to take Luke with me to Kroger right now while everyone else is still asleep. That way, his antics downstairs won't wake everyone else in the house up. We'll be out of the house and we'll have cream cheese at the end.
Dang.
So it's like 7 in the morning now. And I'm like, all right, Luke, let's get in the car. We're going to Kroger and to get cream cheese, you know.
I'm honestly impressed with your commitment to this quest.
To the quest, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was more of like this will be something to do.
Even still, I feel, yeah. Okay, anyway, but on our way to the grocery store.
We're on our way to the grocery store. We get there, and, you know, the people at Kroger, they know what they're doing. They put all of the things for kids the moment you walk through the door. It's super annoying, but what they have is balloons.
Okay.
All over the place.
All over the place.
Luke sees the balloons, and he is immediately like, can I get a balloon? And I'm like, you know what, whatever. We're having a little fun morning outing. You can get a balloon. It's fine by me. You
sure.
Know. Balloon. So he's looking around, and he finds this giant tub of these inflatable or pre-inflated animal balloons that have these sort of like streamer legs that sort of like act as the weights, but then it sort of looks like they have legs as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So they're pretty fun.
Yeah.
And
balloon technology has really just gone through the roof.
It's fantastic.
Big Balloon is doing a great job. They've sold over 30 billion balloons this year alone.
They would not surprise me. Man, I saw such an interesting TikTok the other day about like how the city of Cleveland like tried to break a world record for largest balloon release in history. Like they were like trying to do this big stunt with the Guinness Book of World Records, and like Disney had recently like broken the record, and they were like, we're going to beat Disney World and have the biggest balloon release ever. And it's going to be this giant spectacle. And like the whole city was like super in on it. They were like, yeah, let's do it. Balloons, let's go. And so like the day finally comes and they've got all the balloons ready, and there's like this bad weather storm coming in, and they're like, we might have to postpone it. And they're like, we really can't, because the balloons will start deflating and then we won't be able to do it, and we spent so much time and effort and money into it. So they were like, and the weather's dying down, we're gonna go ahead and do it. And they do it, and it's amazing for like 30 minutes, and then the weather comes, and it's like just balloon chaos everywhere. It's like it's like delaying flights. It's getting in the river, and it turned into this giant like kerfluffle. And like they did get the world record, and then like 2 years later, the Guinness was like, "No, we can't. This world record is not no longer a thing we're keeping track of. So this isn't a thing anymore."
Oh my gosh!
So anyway,
it's causing too much chaos. I was on the edge of my seat there for a second.
Poor
there.
Cleveland.
Like, yeah. Well, what's going on with the balloon?
It was a really funny story. Anyway, not the point. Luke's picking out a balloon at Kroger, and he finds this like cardboard box full of like inflated animal balloons, and he is immediately enamored with all of them. And he's like, "Oh my god, can I get one?" I'm like, "You know, yeah, sure, this would be fun. I've experienced balloons like this in the past. The amount of joy kids can get out of this is like nearly infinite."
Oh, I think as kids, yeah, I remember like we would spend. I don't even know what typically would be the reason for it, but it seems like occasionally mom and dad would like go to an event on a Friday evening. We would come down Saturday morning, and there would just be like a big like bouquet of balloons floating in our living room.
Yeah.
And we would then like tie it to different things and see whether or not there was enough helium in the balloons to like float it.
How many balloons do you need to float this Beanie Baby to the ceiling? Who knows?
And occasionally we would like take it to the stairs and drop it off the stairs to see if the additional height increased the floatability of the helium, which spoilers, it makes no difference whatsoever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of experiments you could have as a kid. Super fun.
Spend an entire day.
So he lands on a horse balloon.
Naturally. Yeah. Runs in this his
is,
blood.
Yeah, he's got to get the horse. And so we go, we check out. And as we're like in the parking lot, he's like examining. He's like, what should I name it? And he's like examining the horse for ideas. And he notices that it has sort of like anime-esque eyes. It has like that sort of like diamond twinkle effect in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Another one.
Like the sparkle sort of look. And he determined the sparkle was a crystal. So he was like, I'm just going to call it Crystal because it has crystal eyes.
I love it. Crystal the horse.
So we have Crystal the horse, which I was like, you know what? It's not a bad name. Horses traditionally have pretty wackadoo names. So
Indeed.
Yeah, they do.
I like to think now if you ever someday own a horse, you guys will keep with the naming convention and it will be Crystal.
Crystal the horse.
Crystal the horse.
Yeah, Crystal the horse. The horse.
Ruby and Sapphire.
Right.
And
yeah, right. We'll just have a whole pasture of gemstones, you know?
I like it.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. But we get home, and the Crystal the Horse was like a more expensive balloon than I was expecting it to be.
Oh, dear.
Which is frustrating. But I would say, even so, Luke got at least that much joy out of it in the first 10 minutes of it being home that I was like, totally worth it. This is fantastic. And then, I mean, he brought Crystal the Horse with him around everywhere. They were going on adventures. They were playing Keepy Uppy. Nick and Nate came down. I mean, this horse was putting in work.
I love it.
You know?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And it's like one of those Mylar balloons. So until they get too rough with it, it's basically going to last forever, which is to say it lasted the weekend because they got rough with it.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah, you know, so there's that. But In the meantime, like, they eventually got a little bit bored with it by Sunday, and the real Crystal the Horse saga began, that like Luke would like bring it. Well, they like to play this game called Magic Statues.
Okay.
Right. Where it's from Bluey, but basically the game is someone pretends to sell you a statue, which is just one of the other kids. And then you buy the statue and you go put it somewhere, and then you leave the room and you come back and the statue has moved, and you're like, what? How did my statue move? And they think it is hilarious.
So are you the customer?
I'm the customer.
Yo, so you're buying the statues.
I'm buying the statues, and I'm like, I'm going to put this in this room, and then I'm going to go buy another statue, and I come back and they'll like move to the other bed, and they're just like dying with laughter, like, oh my God, I moved.
This is peak humor.
I love how much they love it. It's super fun. But so eventually Crystal became one of the statues.
Okay, got it.
Right, so then, you know, they'd put it somewhere and then they'd go move Crystal or whatever. So they just kept putting the horse in different spots in the house, and it, like, at some point, like, when you're not, it's like, it's roughly the size of a small dog.
Okay.
Crystal,
sure.
The horse, right?
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times I would walk around a corner and thought there was an animal in the house.
Oh, man.
You know, like, you'd like be out of the corner of your eye and you'd be like, oh, God. Ooh, Crystal. God, I thought you were a real dog for a second. You know,
it's like, talking to the balloon.
Yeah, talking to the balloon. And I'm just like, it's like such a, it like, it brought me in line with this like weird instinct, I suppose, or like, because we grew up with like dogs in the house. It was like, I'm used to that size shape, because it has like four legs and stuff. I'm used to that size shape being an animal, you know,
it's
like
so
out of the corner of my eye.
Right, I know, but it's fascinating to me, because it's like it's so ingrained clearly into like your childhood, but you have not probably lived in a house with a dog for like 14 years,
yeah,
I bet.
Like, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, but like, it's still like a part.
But yeah, it's like still there. It's like I my brain knows that shape is dog or is animal of some kind. And so it was like, it just kept baffling me that every time I would walk around a corner and they had moved Crystal the horse, the statue, to a new place, that like, no matter, like, my brain could not get used to it just being a balloon.
Okay.
You know, like every single time it was like, oh my God, like, really thought there was an animal there, you know, like, you know, like walking into my bedroom and Crystal's on the bed and it's like, oh, it's like, you know, because like, if there's an animal of that size in my house, it's a real problem.
Yo,
there,
yeah,
should not be an animal in my house
of that size
of that size at all,
right?
So it,
right,
just kept, it was like it just like, it, because it's like the split second reaction, you know, it's like it takes you maybe like half a second to be like, it's a balloon, but it takes you maybe like a tenth of a half of a second to think there's an animal here.
Oh, sure, you know? Sure, sure, sure.
So it's like the realization comes quick, but your instinct is to be afraid. So this stupid balloon was just freaking me out for two days. And it was just like, oh my God, Crystal. So anyway,
it's just you, just a balloon.
It's just a balloon. Jesus, not a real animal. And like, sometimes it wouldn't even move. It would be like on the bed and I'd be like, oh gosh. And I'd go and I'd like, you know, use the bathroom and come out of the bathroom and be like, oh, you know, like I couldn't believe it was just such a weird interaction with my brain, in which it's like survival instinct was being activated by the thought of the balloon being an animal.
Oh yeah. You know, absolutely. Absolutely.
There was like a weird, like, it was like I accidentally tapped into some like very primal survival instinct over and over because we had the balloon.
That's
which
amazing.
Was really funny. And eventually Crystal perished and, you know, is no longer with us, unfortunately. But while we were there, Luke was having a real bout of indecision about whether he wanted Crystal the horse or the turtle balloon.
Okay.
And so the following week I was like, okay, so we've been doing like the drop off at school.
The drop off
where, you know, you just like pull up to the school and the kid gets out of the car and they go in the school.
Yeah. Okay.
Drop off. Right. Luke likes me to park the car and go in, which is a whole bigger thing. It's much slower. It is not what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
But, you know, he's like, I think he knows it's a different option than what you're supposed to do, so he wants to do it.
Therefore preferred.
Therefore, it's more difficult for you. I won't do that. So my pitch to him was that if he does the drop-off every day for a week, we could go get the turtle balloon.
Nice.
And he, like, every single day, he would just stare at me and be like, oh, this is painful getting out of the car right here, but I really want that turtle balloon.
For the cause.
I want that turtle. And so, sure, and I thought my idea was, you know, we'll just get used to doing it for a week, and then after that, you'll have the turtle balloon and you'll do the drop off. Meanwhile, this Monday morning, we're back to parking.
Oh no!
It's like such
a reward system.
I know, the reward system. It worked for the time in which the reward was present, and then immediately crumbled. So I was like, man. But now we have a turtle balloon.
Wow. Now we got Turtle Balloon. Yeah, turtle balloon. Which is now giving me the...
Yeah. The Turtle Balloon's not nearly as bad. I think it's mostly just stayed in Luke's room for the most part. And it's significantly smaller than a horse, if you can imagine, you know, turtles versus horses.
Oh, yeah.
General.
No, yeah, of course.
So it hasn't been as big of an issue as the Crystal Balloon saga. But yeah, now we have a Turtle Balloon. And I'm still, at least for now, have had to park to get Luke out of the car. So still a work in progress, but we'll get there.
We'll get there, man.
We'll get there. Anywhere. That's the Crystal Horse saga. I
love it. Yeah. I love it. Okay. Okay. Well, yep. Crystal the Horse, like I said, I'm now looking forward to your eventual Field of Gemstones.
Yeah. Right. Which yeah. Is, someday.
Which is, as you eventually become a horse owner, which I can only imagine is inevitable at this point in time.
Yeah, who's to say?
I mean, you have to Mylar balloon before you can physical, like, 1,000-pound beast.
Right, you know? Yeah, right. That's what they say. You know what? You want to get a puppy? Let's get a balloon.
let's
try it with the balloon.
Why don't we start with the balloon?
Why don't we start with the balloon?
See how we feel.
See how it goes. All right? Yeah. That's good. We'll take the balloon for walks, you know? It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. Oh, man. So I don't know whether or not this is sort of an interesting one as well, because I have my own, I don't even know what to call it in my head. I feel like I'm having a homeowner struggle, and it has to do with like this like reward based system, basically being like my own demise, yeah, if you will.
Okay.
So, basically what has happened is the house that I own is on a rather prominent corner lot in my neighborhood. And I say prominent just in that it's like a known intersection where people who are out walking the neighborhoods, it's like an obvious like turn point to go and find yourself navigating through more neighborhoods.
Right.
So my house is very, very, very frequently walked past.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue that we have is obviously we have two dogs, Indy and Chewy, at home. And because you're on the corner, there is no such thing as a backyard. So like the backyard is just facing one street on one side and the front yard is just facing one street on the other side. And for the longest period of time, I like had the issue, which was that like I would try to like I installed like an invisible fence at one point in time and tried to train my dogs on that. And it was sort of like, you know, middling success at best. And then I had my yard aerated one year and they basically just punctured a whole bunch of holes in my invisible fence because they didn't know it was there. And so it was like, well, now that's gone. And as time went on, I was sort of like trying to figure out like how I could enclose my property even better. And I eventually installed a fence that was supposed to go like around my house to one side and was going to like butt up against the house and sort of have like the backyard open to nothingness. And then the whole front yard would be like fully enclosed. And I'd be like, oh, that's great. But then we were like, oh man, you know, while we're at it, we might be able to, and I think I had talked about this early on in the pop, but I had poured my own concrete pad, which was going to use for like weightlifting. But then we were like, well, let's put a pergola over it. We could make like an outdoor sitting space. And then with that, we also decided to like put a privacy fence along the back end of my house. And it was like, oh my gosh, at this point in time, we can enclose my whole property and then I can let my dogs out either door, front door or back door, and it'll be fine because they will be fully enclosed by a fence.
Right.
And then like one of the things that we discovered was that like we would find these windows like where if mail were to be delivered at any point in time, you sort of find yourself in like a dicey spot because you don't want the dogs in the yard like when the mailman enters,
right,
you know, to deliver the mail, because to their credit, that is something that could be very uncomfortable and my dogs absolutely would bark.
Yeah.
And it would be scary. And so I was like, okay, so I have my whole property enclosed. I can open both doors. I can let them out both directions. However, I need to be able to let them outside at times, where there could be overlap with somebody who otherwise might be entering my property. So I had gone through the middle section of it and actually installed an additional fence that closed off the backyard from the front yard so that like I could let people out. I could let the dogs out the backyard and people could still come and deliver mail or like whatever from the front yard. So like I've taken like all these like significant measures to like try to find a way to be able to like let the dogs out when needed without it causing a whole lot of chaos.
Yeah.
The issue that has, I think, arisen, though, is that because so many people walk by all the time, is that as they walk by with their dogs, my dogs will run over and bark at them.
Yeah.
And as they, like, you know, then basically as the person, you know, progressively walks by, they're effectively barked at for the entire perimeter of the fence that my dogs can follow them.
Right.
So if they're in the backyard, they're almost immediately, like, eliminated within, like, you know, 15 yards because there's just not that much visible fence space.
Yeah.
But if it's in the front yard, it's like you're talking like a huge stretch of time
right.
where my dogs are able to just basically like follow you right along the fence and bark the whole time.
Right.
And we tried a myriad of different things. We've like taken our dogs to training courses, like where we go and like we train with the dogs, like at the course. We have had professional trainers come in and literally do like one-on-one training with them for like a month.
Yeah.
You know, and do like all this various stuff. And the issue is that my dogs are massively treat motivated. So this comes back to your point with the turtle.
Yeah.
So it's like, the problem is that like they will follow instructions to the letter. If you have a treat in your hand, they will do whatever you ask them to do. And they are amazing. The problem is if you don't have a treat in your hand, they are absolutely not going to respond whatsoever.
Yep. Yeah.
Nope. Not even at all. And the other problem is that from their perspective, they're trying to defend the property. And so what they witness through their eyes is all these people walking by, going in front of the house,
right.
side of the house, whatever. It's like, boom, scared them off again.
They bark at them. Like, these people leave.
Yeah.
Mom I'm and dad, amazing at my job.
Our record, impeccable. Not a single person has ever stayed
on the house.
Outside the fence.
Right. They're getting positive reinforcement.
Every single time.
Yeah.
And what is slowly starting to happen is that it's like, you know, I spend a lot of time out in the yard, whether I'm like out there playing with Addie or if I'm like working around the house or doing this, that, or the other. And so like, you know, a lot of times I try to be extremely apologetic. Like if the dogs go and bark, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, they're just being dogs or whatever. And I feel like for a little while, people were like, haha, yeah, like no problem. We get it. Dogs being dogs. Like, you know, all good. I feel like that has worn off and the people are just starting to get mad.
Oh, really?
And it's like one of these things where it's like, I'm like finding myself both like feeling very guilty about it, but also feeling like a little bit like I did, you know, go to pretty extraordinary lengths to fence in my property in a bunch of different ways. So it's like sequestered and, you know, there's gates everywhere. And like,
right.
you know, I've tried to make it like as accessible while as like restrictive as humanly possible for like, whether, you know, it's a delivery person who's trying to get in or a dog that I'm trying to keep like elsewhere. And the dilemma I'm finding myself faced with is basically like, as everybody walks by, they're all annoyed that my dogs are barking at them. But also, like, from my perspective, I'm like, is there any chance that, like you could just learn my corner? Because there's more than enough to, like, cross the street.
Across
like,
the street.
On the other side, no problem whatsoever. They can't see you over there. Like, it's all good. And, like, I find, because, you know, from their end, it's like, this is a sidewalk. I am allowed to walk here. And I'm like, completely true. This is also, like, my house. And I need to be allowed to like let my dogs outside.
Right.
And so anyway, I can't decide what to do. And I'm like, I feel like I'm like, I've tried everything. And
I
I'm
mean,
like,
but like the fence you have is like clearly keeping the dogs in. There's no, like, even if you're walking past and you're being barked at, it's not, you are never at threat of being attacked by the dog.
No. And I think that the thing that is more of a concern more often is incidents where it's a rather large dog that is being barked at on the other side and possibly pulling the owner in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But so the thing is that, like, I mean, you know, I'm like the whole people pleaser thing. So this is like, it's like quietly killing me a little bit because I'm like, I don't know what to do because I can't never let my dogs outside.
Yeah, this is everyone else's problem, not yours.
You think so?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, like there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, sir, I've been on plenty of walks and runs and whatever where dogs come flying out of the house and it scares the bejesus out of you.
It does,
you
yes. Yeah. And it's it has
like,
been there too.
It's extremely annoying and, you know, you don't like it, but it's like also, it's like, what are you supposed to do? Like,
right.
There's nothing, it's like, I understand why it happens. And if it happens on the same course over and over and over, it's easy enough to go to the other side of the street, I think, more often than not. But it's like, are you mad at the people for having dogs? Like, you know, not really. And I doubt they're even, like, I'm never mad at the people in the house. You know, I'm always mad at the dog
barking
at me.
I mean, nobody wants to be barked at,
one wants to be barked at ever. And it's like, you have dogs and it's like, I don't think, you know, if it's like an invisible fence or something and you, the person who's being barked at, don't know that there's a barrier there.
And
that could be like even like frightening, because as far as you're concerned, that dog's about to, you know, like tackle you.
There's no physical barrier between these two things.
Whereas like they're like, your fence is pretty robust and tall, and
it's
you know, it's definitely like preventing any sort of physical contact. from occurring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it, yeah. I don't know. It's just like one of those things where, you know, I'm like, I think my dilemma is largely just that, like, I want to do something to help, but I also look at my own actions and I'm like, it's not like I've done nothing. Like I have gone to quite a few links. And so what's surprising to me is that after all of the energy I've exerted into it, it's almost seems like things have gotten like worse. And I don't know if like maybe what's happening at this point in time is that, like, from my perspective, I'm like, well, I put up a fence. I'm gonna let my dogs out in the yard. And now I'm letting them out in the yard so much more often possibly, which I would still say accounts for less than 1 hour of time a day. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but it might be like 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes after work, 15 minutes in the evening, you know,
yeah,
with a myriad of like little ins and outs in between or something. But it's not like they're out there all the time. They're not outdoor dogs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they live in our house.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, but I just wanted to run it by you. Cause I feel like it's like, I feel like I find myself so stuck because I'm like, I don't like the fact that like these people, these exchanges that I'm having with them are like getting progressively worse.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know,
is it the same people over and over?
It is the same people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably the same. I mean, there's,
here's what you can do. Just let the dogs out. Don't go out there with them.
Well, and I would say a decent portion of the time that is the case.
Yeah.
But it is just, you know, like occasionally I'll be outside. And so, you know, end up kind of interacting with it in some capacity. I also just have windows that face everywhere. So a lot of times it's like when you can hear the dogs barking from inside the house and you're like, well,
yeah. I mean, I would say this is also a lot of just like you like imagining or like putting words in people's mouth about the level of annoyed they are.
Yeah, I have been able to do that.
Yeah, it's a little bit what it sounds like. I mean, we did have neighbors once upon a time when you and I were living together. They got some dogs and they were not indoor dogs and they were outdoor dogs and they barked literally 16 hours a day, nonstop, every single day.
It was
like the worst. And it's like, if that was the kind of problem, I'd be like, yeah, Ben, you need to do something about that. Cause that's a real nuisance to like the entire neighborhood.
Right.
But yeah, that would, God, I still make me mad thinking about it.
I do remember that was like one of those instances where I think I was like the barking was one thing, but I feel like the people that were living there got these two, hound dogs, which are like typically dogs that do bark more frequently in general anyway. And also they were fully outdoor dogs. So like, you know, I mean, it would be like 17 degrees outside and you're like, did you guys like need to get dogs? Like what?
Yeah.
I don't even see you like interacting with them at all.
What enjoyment are you getting from them?
Right. Yeah, right. No, yeah. It seemed like sort of an upheaval, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
That was definitely. And I think probably it was that instance that is probably making me feel so guilty about it is because that is exactly what I think about every single time.
Yeah.
Is those neighbors that you and I had together. It was kind of like, that was rough. That was, you know, that was annoying. Like it was certainly like an aspect of like living in that house was like that you had this other aspect of it. So anyway, yeah, that's that.
Yeah.
Transition. All
right. Transition. Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/poppop. Oh man. Okay. So speaking of being outside of my house over the weekend, one of the reasons why I was outside is because I was splitting some wood.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can tell the glow that I have about me today.
Of course.
The, yes. The like overwhelming sense of positivity.
No doubt.
Yeah. Like was it apparent when I walked in this morning?
Could absolutely.
Yeah. You could see the difference.
Like in a positive mood.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent. Right. Yeah. It's because of all the log splitting.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's nice. What did it. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I had gone over to mom and dad's house. They had this like really big, it was, I think originally supposed to be like a weeping, cherry or something like that. It was like a tree that had been grafted with a tree. But I think like on one level there was like the weeping aspect, and then the original tree that was grafted to it just grew straight up through the middle.
Through it.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be kind of like this like really cool flowering, like pretty ornamental, tree for, you know, like a residential backyard. And, I think as time went on, it just became very, very, very big. And so I had gone over and I had cut it down for them and, like, you know, had gone through and chopped it into like, you know, smaller pieces and stuff like that. And I remember the day that I did it, I did bring a bunch of wood home with me for like my backyard fire pit and mm-hmm. stuff like that, because the wood burns extremely well. But since that time, I think like a whole bunch of stuff happened. Like, you know, I think Addie was born, and then it was just sort of like, man, I'm just so busy. So the wood has been in mom and dad's backyard for this entire time. And dad was like, well, let me go back there. I'll like chop it into like pieces, like with my chainsaw. And then like, you know, just like when you get a chance to just like come over and like snag the wood, you can like break it down and, you know, do all your fire pit related stuff.
Your stuff.
My stuff. Yeah. So I went and picked up all the wood yesterday, which I was super excited about. And I got home and it was just like really fun to go and like set out the logs and just like absolutely like wail on them.
Yeah.
And as I'm like going through this process of doing it, I'm literally like, one, I love chopping wood. This is like one of my all time favorite things to do.
Yeah.
But then also I was like, I have been in this like really strange in between where I was getting like just really like tired, like with my like workout regime for like a long period of time. It's sort of been like a big year. I did like the marathon at the beginning. And then like in addition to that, I'd been doing like the same powerlifting as you.
Yeah.
That we've been doing for like the past like 5 years or so. I was like, I'm just going to take a good old fashioned like break.
Yeah.
And just like sort of like take a pause, step away from everything, try to figure out like what I want to be doing next. So I've been finding myself in this like really weird feeling for the past couple of months because I'm not working out and I'm not used to not working out.
Right.
And, so as I'm like splitting wood yesterday, they're like, I'm just like, man, is there a world like, literally what I'm thinking to myself is like, how can I find a way to go and do this and have this be like my exercise? Like, is there a world where I could like get up at like, you know, 7 a.m, go to some spot somewhere and split wood for like 45 minutes to an hour, uh-huh. Go home and shower. And it's just like, I went to the gym this morning.
Went to the gym. That's it. I just chopped some wood.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it like, and this is like one of those things where I'm like, we talk about with like the step competitions, like yeah. Where, the idea is that any steps you take where you didn't have your tracker, like your Fitbit or Apple Watch or your phone on you, you're like, well, those steps don't even count. Like, you
right.
know, like what was even the point of walking up the stairs just now?
Right.
You know, I didn't even get to
count it. Gosh. But so
like I have a piece of land that I could go to where I could like just probably take down like a single tree that would probably take me like the better part of a year to process into
all
like
the wood, yeah, in, like into by yourself by hand with one axe.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. So it's like, you know, on a track of land that has, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of trees, like to take down one would give me a lot of work to do and would do seemingly nothing else to the space out there
right.
at all. But I feel like this is like one of those things where it's like going to a gym feels like such a like checkmark verified version of fitness
mm-hmm.
that like it's almost like, oh yes, this is like an authorized machine to exercise upon. Like
right.
It has been created by science
yeah.
to exercise your traps
right.
specifically
yes.
or something. It's like, this is not like this. This is such a different form of exercise, but yeah. I will tell you that I'm like today after doing all this, like
I'm
chopping,
sure you're totally wrecked.
Yeah. My body is like annihilated.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, clearly I'm this sore, which means I worked my muscles.
Yeah. There's no doubt you worked muscles. I mean, chopping wood or shoveling snow or stuff like that, like it's absolutely a crazy workout.
Right.
And you'll burn like all sorts of calories and work, you know, I mean, that sounds like a totally viable way to get your exercise in, if you ask me, especially since you have an available almost limitless amount of lumber that would, you know, a single person could hardly hope to chop down by right. themselves without stuff growing back in the meantime.
There's no way in the world I could even make a dent in it. I mean, this would be like emptying like a lake with like a teaspoon.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, you can go down and yeah, I don't see why you couldn't do this. It seems like it might take a while. I mean, I can imagine the difficult part even being like chopping down the first tree and then like processing the tree itself into an amount of like I can imagine like stacking the logs you would need to split with the axe, taking a really long amount of time.
I know. Yeah.
You know, it's like
getting,
which would also be its own kind of workout, I suppose. But like the main potential thing I could see as being an issue is that you'd just be doing the same single motion almost over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you'd get really good at doing it. And I wonder if you would get like a weird imbalance on like one side from whatever side you like swing with or something.
Oh, that's a good question. You know? or even if the other thing is like, you know, in a similar capacity, like if you were to walk into a weight room and put two 45 pound plates on the end of like a barbell, then it's 135 pounds. So let's just go in and like use that as like your squat metric. So like, let's say like on day one, you go in and it's like, you know, do that 10 times or whatever. And you're like, oh man, I'm super sore. Like that warmth, like, you know, that hit me right in the legs, you know? But if you went back like the next day and the next day and the next day for like 2 years, at some point in time, like your gains from still doing the same amount of weight is probably lessened,
mm-hmm.
You know, than what it originally was, because you yourself have gotten stronger and have acclimated to this, like this load
right.
that you're attempting to move. So typically what you would do with weightlifting is just add weight, you know,
yeah.
and then like maybe like, a, you know, after so much time, it's like you're doing like 165 pounds instead of 135 pounds. And it's like, oh, right. now this is what's heavy for me. And I suspect that this would be like one of those things, like the axe would never necessarily get heavier. The logs would never get harder to split.
If anything, the logs are getting easier to split, but I think you can make axes heavier. Like, I imagine there's like a collar you could put around to it to like make it heavier so that it could split more effectively.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I think that's a real thing. Also, you could just buy heavier axes. Well, like, you know, that's more of like a sledge or something.
Right. And I own a splitting maul. That's like an 8-pound maul compared to like my splitting axe, which is more like, you know, your traditional looking axe.
Also, the other way that you would probably get stronger, which might not... you might not even need a heavier axe. You might just need to chop for longer.
Oh, that's a good point. Know? Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know.
Or maybe your speed would start to accelerate.
Yeah, you could chop faster. You could start setting timers for yourself. Like, all right, I've got to get to today. I'm doing, you know, 20 logs or something.
Right.
Or, you know, it's just like, how many can I get inside of, you know, 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Set little challenges for yourself.
I like this.
Or, I don't know, you could maybe start trying to chop trees down with the axe rather than just split the logs. Or,
oh my gosh,
you know, I've been on Chop Talk before. People are trying to like split giant stumps in half, and it's just like, you know, you'll see these guys who are freaking massive, and clearly all they do is chop wood all day, and they have perfect form, and they're swinging, and it looks like, dude, it doesn't even look like you're affecting it, and suddenly it just cracks down the middle, and you're like, wow, you know things about the way wood is held together that I don't. So, wow, you're really impressive.
Yep. So would you come to...
I would 1,000% come do this. This would be a blast. Yeah.
Sweet, okay.
I would come swing some axe, man. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm down. Building out my new gym. It's happening.
Yeah, there you go.
The good news is that the startup cost, pretty minimal on the whole.
Pretty minimal. Well, I mean, you had to buy land, so there's that.
That's a good point. Pretty, I did have to buy the land.
Not minimal.
Not minimal. In fact, probably have spent more on the land than every gym membership combined. So
yeah, so
that's a good point.
Right. Also, you know what? What if you're loud and you annoy the neighbors?
There's enough space. I think there's enough space.
You think they're going to be okay with you splitting logs at 7 in the morning?
Oh, that's a good point.
Nah, dude, you know what? It's your land. Who cares?
Okay.
Also, I happen to know your neighbors, so, you know, they can just come out and chop with us. It'll be great.
That's right. Be like, hey, look, I mean, it's like, if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could be that, but that's their mentality. They need to adopt that.
Hello. Hey. How about you come out here and chop with us?
Yeah, if they come over and complain, I will have pre-wrapped in glorious wrapping paper their own axe and bestow it upon them.
Yeah.
And be like, I knew this day would come.
You know what else you need up there? You definitely need like a carafe of coffee or something.
Oh, carafe. You know? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, right.
Just out there. Be like, hey, neighbor, you want a mug?
Yep. Okay, here's another question. Do you think this would be worse in winter or in summer?
What do you mean worse?
Like, do you think it'd be worse to be splitting wood in the middle of summer or worse in the middle of winter?
I think it would be much worse in the winter.
Do you?
Yeah.
I was literally just thinking like summer's obviously the worst because it's so much hotter.
Look, you can take your shirt off in the summer and you'll be fine. Once you're going to have to be wearing clothes no matter what in the winter. And once you start moving, it's going to get super hot.
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
You know, I guess you could take clothes off as you heat up, but... there's going to be a weird amount. It feels like that's in a situation where you're starting to get really sweaty in really cold weather, which feels like a homebrew for a sickness.
It does feel that way.
Of such. So, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I would still come out and do it with you.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this.
All right, let's split some wood.
We're going to split some wood. This is the new, maybe it's the new venture. We'll see.
Yeah, this is it. I don't think it has to be a venture. This is just something we're doing.
That's what I mean. Sorry, okay, I'm not using venture as like a new business establishment.
Well, you need to clarify that.
That's a good point. I will hand it to you, just like I will hand you an axe.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Okay.
Super
okay.
good.
Yeah. There's no charge at all whatsoever because it's not a business.
Okay.
To be 100% crystal clear.
Exactly. Yeah. You just pay for the land.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Super.
We got one final transition left in
us. All right. Sure. Ben, can I tell you about how I lost a few hours of sleep last night?
Does it have anything to do with Crystal the Horse?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with Crystal the Horse this
time. How about Crystal the Turtle?
No, the turtle is just called Turtle.
Just called Turtle.
Yeah, Luke couldn't, surprisingly, after such a name like Crystal, you know, Luke has thought long and hard about Turtle, and I recommended some things. I was like, Donatello, great name for a turtle. That's my favorite Ninja Turtle.
Donatello. Is it because it's close to Donatello?
No, it's not. It's just because he was the smart one, and you know.
He was the smart one. Okay. Yeah. I was more of a Raff.
You're
fan.
More of a Raff yeah, one. Yeah, yeah the angry
he's
one.
He's kind
of
moody.
That doesn't even seem like you.
He's all deep up in his feels.
Let me tell you what. The other thing is that low-key, Donatello is always the best choice in any video game because he has the bow staff, and it's not like they adjust the amount of damage the weapons do based on anything. It's just like, this one can just has more range.
Okay, so it's
or
like...
if you're Raphael, it's like, hey, I got to get real close because all I have is these size, and they don't go very far.
That's a good point. But Leonardo has swords, doesn't
Leonardo
he?
Leonardo has swords, so yeah. Leonardo's pretty good, too, for
okay.
sure.
Okay, so you're good, yeah. But Michelangelo...
Leonardo's like the de facto main character in most Ninja Turtle things anyway because he's like the leader. Except for the live-action movies where they were like, you know what? Let's make it Raph.
That's a... yeah. Probably why I'm such a fan.
Dude, I have been watching for the past, like... 2 weeks this single video on YouTube, which was like 4+ hours long, and it was a complete like 7-season breakdown of the 2003 animated show like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Which was like the show that the second iteration of Turtles from like the 1980s one that like we would have grown up watching.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like it's one of those things, and like this is a genre of YouTube I've discovered I really really love, which is like shows that I was exposed to and really wanted to watch but never have ever found the time, and now in my adult life I'm like, I'm never actually going to get to see how that show played out. Like I was really interested in having seen it, and now it's like, when am I going to find the time as a 35-year-old to go back and watch 7 seasons of the 2003 Ninja Turtles?
Yeah,
it's like, it's never going to happen.
And
I wish it could.
I know. I mean, but I mean, there's always retirement.
There's
someday.
Always retirement. And, you know, I've got it earmarked. But this is a 4-hour review of someone who freaking loved the show and went through like every, like just basically every episode and covered like what was great about the early seasons and stuff. And like what I love, like the ultimate thing at the end is he's talking about like the legacy of the Ninja Turtles, which is that like they have this weird relationship with their audience where like every time like a new show is introduced, like the next generation like loves it. And it's like there's clearly something very approachable and lovable about the Turtles, but like 3 or 4 seasons in, they like always like completely like sort of drop the ball, and like people lose interest and new popular stuff comes out. So it's like if you go to buy a Ninja Turtle action figure at the store right now, what you're probably gonna find is like remakes of the 1980s action figures.
Oh sure,
like,
yeah,
not
yep.
like the modern day Turtles.
Fascinating.
Which is weird. Or it's like the same thing is like true of like Power Rangers. Like if you wanted to go Power Rangers at the store right now, you could find Mighty Morphin Power Rangers
from the original,
at the store, like the original. Like they're at the store right now. While there are regular current Power Rangers on TV so, that are like probably there too, but it's not like there's like 20 seasons worth of stuff as well. You know, it's like the original ones are still the ones that people are associating with.
That's wild.
But anyway, yeah, Ninja Turtles, super cool. And I remember it specifically, this one was interesting to me because like they made a movie called Turtles Forever, which was like this turtle multiverse thing. Like they were way ahead of the multiverse curve, whereas like now everyone's all multiverse, everything, Spider-Verse. You know,
everything Kang. Everywhere all at once.
Yeah, everything everywhere all at once. Everything's all about it. This was like back in like 2007. The Turtles were way ahead of it.
Okay.
And I remember seeing like just the movie at the end, and like they had the 2003 Turtles, and it was like a crossover with the 80s Turtles, and then they crossed over with the original Turtles from the comic books.
Oh, wow.
I know. And that was like me learning there were comic books. And this is another one where it's like, since then, this was in college, I've been like, man, I would love to read the comic books. That sounds like so cool. Like it's got to be awesome. You know, and it's like, I like looked up how to buy them, and it's like, it was like impossible to even figure out how to buy the comic books.
Oh,
it was like,
man.
You know, it's like,
yeah, that's
like,
tough.
Probably you can now. I don't know. I haven't looked at it in a while, but it's like, every time it comes up, I'm like, I bet it's super cool. Cause like the comic turtles are like very like serious.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
So anyway, I could talk about Ninja Turtles a lot, for a while, but anyway, this has nothing to do with
what
why
kept
I lost
you up?
Sleep.
Okay. Yeah. What kept you up in the middle of the night?
So here's what happened. Basically is last night Luke came into our room and you know, as he's prone to doing, and like it's been becoming more and more of an issue where he'll just like me and Beth will be so tired at the end of any given day, sometimes won't even notice him getting in the bed.
Oh my gosh, just like, that's wild.
Yeah, you just like wake up because he kicked you, and it's like, oh, huh, what? Oh, I guess you're already here, and I'm still asleep, and whatever.
Right.
So like last night though, he like woke me up, and I was like, no, we're going. Like we talked to him before. I was like, you got to stop coming in our room. Like we need to try and start sleeping in our own bed the whole night. And so he like came in my room last night after we talked to him. I was like, no, we're going back in your room. And I brought him in there and he like fussed a little bit, but then I brought him into his room and there was this like horrible thumping sound coming from like downstairs. And I was like, what is that? And I'm like, it kind of sounded like the dryer, but I was like, even if we started the dryer when we went to bed, it'd be done now. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, that's
like
a weird one.
I know. And I'm like, this is weird.
So it's almost like he had like a valid reason.
Well, yeah. So like, yeah, I was like, normally he's just waking up because he's just waking up. But this time it was like there was a definite like big thumping sound happening downstairs that like wasn't, I couldn't even hear until I went into his room. And I was like, what is going on? Because now I'm just concerned that like something's in the house.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and I'm like what?
Was I seeing an animal?
I know. I'm like, Crystal. Yeah.
I thought you were gone.
I thought you were gone. No. But I go downstairs and I discover the source of it is one of the ceiling fans downstairs.
Okay.
Is like on, I guess, like ultra turbo helicopter mode or something.
Sure, like just trying to like do a pure lift off.
Yeah,
style.
It is like spinning like as fast. I mean, it's spinning so fast it looks like it's like threatening to like, you know, rip itself out of the ceiling.
Goodness,
you know,
gracious.
It's like making this big thumping sound and it's like directly beneath, you know, like hit that ceiling butts up to the floor of his room.
Sure, yeah.
So, okay. Like, you know, it's as it's going around, it's going like, thump, 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 and it was like, okay, I see what the problem is. Pretty valid reason to have woken up, so just turned that off. And came down this morning, and like, you know, this has never come up before because there's almost no reason to ever have the fan on downstairs.
Right.
Like, it's certainly not at, like, warp speed or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I came down this morning, and I'm like, oh, man, it's so annoying that he woke up, like, if only the fan hadn't been on. But then I noticed like off to the side, there was this like, we have this really big blanket and it was like sort of draped over one of the chairs. And I was like, oh, right. We turned the fan on because we washed that blanket yesterday. And
oh, and you're trying to dry it?
We're trying to dry it off. So we laid it out in here. And I was like, oh, but you know what? We went to go watch TV last night and Beth put the blanket on her because I thought it was dry because earlier in the day, I had been at a Pokemon tournament and Beth was going to like life group at church or something or youth group. She's like, you know, like the one of the supervisors for like this group of girls. And typically she goes by herself and like I watch the kids at home, but there is childcare there. So she just brought the kids with her.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And like we missed each other maybe by like 10 minutes. So like I could have like watched the kids or something, but then she would have been late. So I had this like unprecedented long amount of alone time in the house. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to clean up the house right now. Like there's no one here to disrupt me. And it turns out when you're the only person in the house without kids, I'm so efficient.
That's amazing.
Cleaned up so much stuff, threw away so much trash, prepped the coffee. I mean, I was like, this is amazing. Look at this.
This house is beautiful.
I'm getting so much done. God, kids are, they're a big old slow mode, you know?
Right. No, this is almost exactly every time I put Addie down for a nap, like when, like on like Saturdays in particular, where I'm with Addie all day and Allie's at work.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll put Addie down and then it's like clean mode. It's like, I've got like a wide open window of time. It's like, I'm going to like, all the blankets are going to be in the perfect positions.
Exactly.
The dishwasher is going to be loaded or unloaded and started. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So the drying of the blanket process had started earlier in the day and Beth had taken it out of the washing machine and it had been draped over a different couch.
Ah.
And as I'm like cleaning up, I went to go feel it because I knew that it had been washed and I was like, it feels dry. Like I think it's dry. So I just folded it up. I brought it into the other room. Like, all right, this is put away now. It's part of the cleanliness of the house. So Beth had then gone to, you know, put the blanket on her as we're watching TV. And she's like, oh, this is still damp. Like this isn't, you know, like I was like, oh crap. I felt maybe just the spots I felt were, you know,
we're dry,
yeah, but no, not the whole thing. So then we put that over there and I'm like, ah, see, so if I hadn't cleaned up the house, then the blanket would have stayed in there. And then we wouldn't have turned the fan on and I would have gotten a full night of sleep. Then I'm like, but now the real reason we were washing the blanket in the first place is because like 3 days ago, Nate, we have like a little potty that's just sort of like sits like out in like the living room area near the TV. So if the kids need to go potty, they can just sort of like jump right to it.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. So he had been going potty and he had more of a bowel movement. You know?
Okay. Sure. Yeah. More a bowel movement. Very polite way to describe it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well
and,
done.
And he had gotten up and he had like just like not wiped as it were. And so he was like, and then climbing over the back of the couch, and there was like a real, like everyone sort of looked up and was like, Nate,
you know, no.
And he like jumped over the couch and like just the, just landed a little bit on the blanket. And I was like, no, you got it. So, so then we, you know, we took care of it. We cleaned all the appropriate, butts and blankets and whatever.
Amazing.
It was all fine.
Everything's resolved.
It was all great. And it was like, right. So if Nate hadn't jumped on the blanket, we never would have needed to wash it and it wouldn't have been drying and I wouldn't have moved it and we wouldn't have turned the fan on and I wouldn't have had to wake up last night.
Wow.
It was like this whole like chain, this like little like blame chain that I had going on in my brain. It like goes back and I'm like, but then as I'm thinking about it, as well, I'm like, but whose fault is it that Nate didn't wipe? Like, is it Nate's fault or are we just not, have we failed his potty training? Is it my fault? You know,
it's like, it all comes back.
It all comes back. And then it's like, I'm like going through it all and I'm like, you know, it depends on at what point in the blame chain I decide to stop the reasoning as to whose fault it is along the way, you know.
I feel like we've been writing so many like what if videos.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like, what if? Now what if? You know, it's like, let's go back to this moment because everything that fractured happened here.
Right here.
Happened here.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's like I could blame Nate. I could blame Nate for doing this, but then I could also blame us for not teaching Nate well enough how to wipe or something. And it's like, I don't know. Because this also has never happened before. Like he doesn't just get up and just run around with a messy butt or anything.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Those are the times. So I don't know. I just thought that was this like but then I started thinking like how often is this always the case where like you can be mad at something because like you peel back the reasons for why something happened. Like this happened because this happened because this happened because this happened and that's why it's that person's fault. But it's like, but could you go back further? Because I think like so often whenever you like blame chain like that, you stop just before it was your fault.
Yeah, right. It's like uh-oh.
Yeah.
If I peel back the layer one more, it's like, I think that's on me all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to leave it right here.
Yeah. And I can bring it full circle here. Because part of the Ninja Turtle, the 4-hour Ninja Turtle review I was watching, there's like this one character, Baxter Stockman, who always creates the Mousers in whatever version of the Turtles you're watching.
Okay.
If you remember the Mousers, like little robot, like chomper dudes.
Oh, yeah, I do actually.
Yeah. The Mousers. Yeah. They're always created by Baxter Stockman. So he's like a returning character in the 2003 one, and he has like an episode like 7 seasons in where he's like, I'm going to get revenge on April. It's actually all her fault that all these bad things have happened to me because this and then this and then this and then this and she's the one who that. And it's like, yeah, but you fired her 1 minute before that. And
oh,
it's like, you know, it's
right.
it's like, yeah, you stopped right there, but it's actually your fault, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Like, none of my decisions were bad. Look at all the things that happened to me. And it's like, it's just, I think it's so funny how your perception on something can really be warped by where you start and stop the
narrative.
The blame chain,
the blame
as it
chain.
Were.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like that. This is kind of a funny thing. So anyway, that's how, how an unwiped butt 3 days ago lost me 3 hours of sleep
yesterday,
last night.
Wow. Yeah,
so
that's it is pretty unbelievable when you do follow, like when you trace everything backwards though, and you're sort of like, cause I think a lot of times this is where like living, responsibly seems like the wrong word because it feels like it sets a bar as to like a certain set of behaviors or something. But like sometimes I do think that like if it's like one thing to have something go wrong here or there, or one thing that like might cause a future ripple here or there. But like if you're always responding to ripples that came from the past, that's probably where it's like it might be good to figure out why there's always a ripple happening.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Like what is it? Am I the common denominator here? Like
right,
do I need
yeah.
to figure out how to like up my game a little bit or like or anticipate future problems like better? Because look, it sounds like your particular instance is like it's like if you don't use the fan on that setting under any capacity, it's like probably that's what it really comes down to. It's like you just didn't even realize that it would be that loud.
Yeah.
To where it would interrupt like your child's sleep.
And exactly.
It's like, but otherwise, like you're not really doing like those things are seemingly disconnected otherwise.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's just funny. Like what? Yeah. That like, because Nate got the blanket dirty, that we had to wash it, that we had to dry it over here. And then I was cleaning, so I moved it back over here, and then it wasn't actually dry. So we're drying it in the wrong room now. And now the fan was turned on and we just left the room because the fan is the fan. It just blows, you know, so not going to cause a problem.
We won't know the true ripple effect though, until Nick, Nate, and Luke someday are doing their popcorn culture follow-up.
Yeah.
Like our dad had a podcast,
yeah,
and their entire podcast premise is listening to episodes of The Pop.
Yeah.
Because this is for whatever reason, it's like my absolute favorite idea. It's like, yeah, I feel like what the podcast does is it encapsulates the way that we think during fragments of time. Mm-hmm. And what it will ultimately someday end up being is exactly that. It's a time capsule.
Yeah.
So it's like, it'll be so interesting if the boys someday ever listen through and like catch up and hear stories of themselves. Because if Luke, Nick, and Nate are someday like 25 and 27 years old, you know, and they're listening to it and hearing stories of themselves from when they were like 3.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh man, you know, so like I imagine like, you know, like Nick and Luke like all looking at Nate right now.
I know. Like, I'm like, oh, have I just thrown Nate under the bus? I'm sorry, future Nate, for telling the story about your unwiped butt as a 3-year-old. And like, I'm sure your brothers are ragging on you for it now. My bad, dude. And I'm not mad at you at all. I'm not even mad at anyone. It's just funny how this chain of events unfolded.
Yep, there we go. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Nick is sitting there like, I wasn't in this story at all. I slept in my bed. I didn't do anything.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh man. Absolutely hilarious. Anyway, so guys, as ever, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop, especially Luke, Nick, and Nate from like 20 years in the future.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear what you guys think about your dad and Uncle Ben's various wandering thoughts.
Yeah. Just so, remember how much fun you had chopping wood all those years, okay?
Yeah, I know. We had such good times.
Yeah.
Do you guys even remember Crystal the Horse?
Yeah,
the
right.
Statue game.
You remember the statue game?
Oh man. But anyway, guys, if you would like to support the show in the future, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. We have a variety of different tiers available over there, including our exclusive merch tier, which means that each quarter of the year there is a cool new piece of merchandise that we have specifically made just for Popcorn Culture patrons. And really the underlying premise behind that particular tier is that producing merchandise as a content creator is a way to kind of support and sustain the show. However, a lot of times estimating the approximate number of physical objects needed is just very difficult from our end of things. So we want to be sure that we are producing the exact right amount for those people who want them. And this is sort of like our answer to that exact problem. So everything that we produce for the patron exclusive merch tier basically is just able to funnel in the exact right amount. And we always have some really, really cool things. So again, patreon.com/popcornculture. It's the quarterly merch tier. Totally go and check it out. Otherwise, guys, until next time.
Pop, pop.